2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's happening right now. President Joe Biden holding the press conference after his summit talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Let's take you there live.
What I do and how we'll respond to specific kinds of actions that harm America's interest. Now, I told President Putin my agenda is not against Russia or anyone else. It's for the American people. Fighting COVID-19, rebuilding our economy, reestablishing relationships around the world with our allies and friends, and protecting the American people. That's my responsibility as president. I also told him that no president of the United States could keep faith with the American people if they did not speak out to defend our democratic values, to stand up for the universal and fundamental freedoms that all men and women have, in our view. That's just part of the DNA of our country. So human rights is going to always be on the table, I told them. It's not about just going after Russia when they violate human rights. It's about who we are. How could I be the President of the United States of America and not speak out against the violation of human rights? I told him that unlike other countries, including Russia, we're uniquely a product of an idea. You've heard me say this before again and again, but I'm going to keep saying it. What's that idea? We don't derive our rights from the government. We possess them because we're born, period. And we yield them to a government. And so the forum I pointed out to him, that's why we're going to raise our concerns about cases like Alexei Navalny. I made it clear to President Putin that we'll continue to raise issues of fundamental human rights, because that's what we are. That's who we are. The idea is we hold these truths self-evident, that all men and women, we haven't lived up to it completely, but we've always widened the arc of commitment and included more and more people. And I raised the case of two wrongfully imprisoned American citizens, Paul Whelan and Trevor Reed. I also raised the ability of Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty to operate and the importance of a free press and freedom of speech. I made it clear that we will not tolerate attempts to violate our democratic sovereignty or destabilize our democratic elections, and we would respond. The bottom line is, I told President Putin that we need to have some basic rules of the road that we can all abide by. I also said there are areas where there's a mutual interest for us to cooperate, for our people, Russian and American people, but also for the benefit of the world and the security of the world. One of those areas is strategic stability. You asked me many times, what was I going to discuss with Putin before I came? I told you I only negotiate with the individual, and now I can tell you what I was intending to do all along. And that is to discuss and raise the issue of strategic stability and try to set up a mechanism whereby we dealt with it. We discussed in detail the next steps our country should take on arms control measures, the steps we need to take to reduce the risk of unintended conflict. And I'm pleased that you agreed today to launch a bilateral strategic stability dialogue. Diplomatic speak for saying, get our military experts and our diplomats together to work on a mechanism that can lead to control of new and dangerous and sophisticated weapons that are coming on the scene now, that reduce the times of response, that raise the prospects of accidental war. And we went into some detail of what those weapon systems were. Another area we spent a great deal of time on was cyber and cybersecurity. I talked about the proposition that certain critical infrastructure should be off limits to attack, period, by cyber or any other means. I gave them a list, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me, 16 specific entities, 16 defined as critical infrastructure under U.S. policy, from the energy sector to our water systems. Of course, the principle is one thing. It has to be backed up by practice. Responsible countries need to take action against criminals who conduct ransomware activities on their territory. So we agreed to task experts in both our countries to work on specific understandings about what's off limits and to follow up on specific cases that originate in other countries, in either of our countries. There's a long list of other things we spent time on, from the urgent need to preserve and reopen the humanitarian corridors in Syria so that we can get food, just simple food and basic necessities, to people who are starving to death, how to build it and how it is in the interest of both Russia and the United States to ensure that Iran does not acquire nuclear weapons. We agreed to work together there because as much as Russia's interest as ours. And to how we can ensure the Arctic remains a region of cooperation rather than conflict. I caught part of President Putin's press conference, and he talked about the need for us to be able to have some kind of modus operandi where we dealt with making sure the Arctic was, in fact, a free zone. And to how we can each contribute to the shared effort of preventing the resurgence of terrorism in Afghanistan. It's very much in the interest of Russia not to have a resurgence of terrorism in Afghanistan. There are also areas that are more challenging. I communicated the United States' unwavering commitment to the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine. We agreed to pursue diplomacy related to the Minsk Agreement. And I shared our concern about Belarus. He didn't disagree with what happened. He just has a different perspective of what to do about it. But I know you have a lot of questions, so let me close with this. It was important to meet in person so there can be no mistake about or misrepresentations about what I wanted to communicate. I did what I came to do. Number one, identify areas of practical work our two countries can do to advance our mutual interest and also benefit the world. Two, communicate directly, that the United States will respond to actions that impair our vital interest or those of our allies. And three, to clearly lay out our country's priorities and our values so we heard it straight from me. And I must tell you, the tone of the entire meetings, I guess it was a total of 4 hours, was good, positive. There wasn't any strident action taken. Well, we disagreed. I disagreed, stated where it was. Where he disagreed, he stated. But it was not done in a hyperbolic atmosphere. That is too much of what's been going on. Over this last week, I believe, I hope, the United States has shown the world that we are back, standing with our allies. We rallied our fellow democracies to make concerted commitments to take on the biggest challenges our world faces. And now we've established a clear basis on how we intend to deal with Russia and the U.S.-Russian relationship. There's much more work ahead. I'm not suggesting
President
that
Joe Biden addressing the media in Switzerland after wrapping up a summit with President Vladimir Putin of Russia. And he just rattled off a laundry list of the things that these two very important issues that these two presidents discussed, Dave.
It's a good, positive meeting. Some people weren't very happy with them calling it a summit, saying that it was more of a meet and greet in some ways. But President Biden said that he talked to President Putin about human rights, about prisoner exchange, elections, strategic stability. So they hit on many things over the course of 4 hours, and he came away fairly optimistic, it sounded like.
Making certain together that Iran does not acquire nuclear weapons, preventing a resurgence of terrorism in Afghanistan, and also about recent cyber attacks committed by Russian criminals against entities in the United States, including the Colonial Pipeline and even JBS Meats, which garnered significant amounts of ransom from both of these companies.
And that was something I was hoping, and I think a lot of Americans were hoping to hear more about. He touched so superficially on so many topics that we really didn't learn much other than the very surface of what they had talked about, because we are very concerned. We want to know, I certainly want to know, exactly what's going to happen. What is it going to look like if Russia cannot crack down on these cyber attacks?
The president continues at a news conference addressing the media separately. The two presidents holding these news conferences independently of one another. I can see him now taking questions from reporters, Dave, so perhaps some of your questions will be answered as that news conference continues. We will continue to monitor it right here at KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
We want to return you now to our developing story that we've been monitoring all morning long. President Joe Biden at a news conference taking reporters' questions. He just wrapped up a very lengthy summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
I'll answer your second question first. I pointed out to him we have significant cyber capability. And he knows it. He doesn't know exactly what it is, but it's significant. And if, in fact, they violate these basic norms, we will respond. Cyber. He knows. In the cyber way. Number two. I think that the last thing he wants now is a Cold War. Without quoting him, which I don't think is appropriate, let me ask a rhetorical question. You got a multi-thousand-mile border with China. China's moving ahead, hell-bent on election, as they say, seeking to be the most powerful economy in the world, the largest, and the most powerful military in the world. You're in a situation where your economy is struggling. You need to move it in a more aggressive way in terms of growing it. And I don't think he's looking for a Cold War with the United States. I don't think it's about, as I said to him, I said, your generation and mine are about 10 years apart. This is not a kumbaya moment, as he used to say back in the 60s in the United States, like, let's hug and love each other. But it's clearly not in anybody's interest, your country's or mine, for us to be in a situation where we're in a new Cold War. And I truly believe he thinks that. He understands that. But that does not mean he's ready to, quote, figuratively lay down his arms and say, come on. He still, I believe, is concerned about being, quote, encircled. He still is concerned that we, in fact, are looking to take him down, et cetera. He still has those concerns. But I don't think they are the driving force as the kind of relationship he's looking for with the United States. Jennifer Jacobs.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Mr. President. Is there a particular reason why the summit lasted only about 3 hours? We know you had maybe allotted 4 to 5 hours. Was there any reason it ran shorter? President Putin said that there were no threats or scare tactics issued. Do you agree with that assessment, that there were no threats or scare tactics?
Yes.
And also, did you touch on Afghanistan and the safe withdrawal of troops?
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. Let me go back to the first part. The reason it didn't go longer is when the last time two heads of state have spent over 2 hours in direct conversation across the table going into excruciating detail. You may know of time, I don't. I can't think of one. So we didn't need, as we got through when we brought in the larger group, our defense, our intelligence, and our foreign, well, our my foreign minister wasn't foreign minister. My Secretary of State was with me the whole time. Our ambassador, et cetera, we brought everybody in. We had covered so much. And so there was a summary done by him and by me of what we covered. Lavrov and Blinken talked about what we had covered. We raised things that required more amplification or made sure we didn't have any misunderstandings. And so it was it was kind of after 2 hours there, we looked at each other like, okay, what next? What is going to happen next is we're going to be able to look back, look ahead in 3 to 6 months and say, did the things we agreed to sit down and try to work out, did it work? Are we closer to a major strategic stability talks and progress? Are we further along in terms of and go down the line? That's going to be the test. I'm not sitting here saying because the president and I agreed that we would do these things that all of a sudden it's going to work. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I think there's a genuine prospect to significantly improve the relations between our two countries without us giving up a single solitary thing based on principle and our values. No, there were no threats. There were, as a matter of fact, I heard he quoted my mom and quoted other people today. Well, it was very, as we say, which will shock you coming from me, somewhat colloquial. And we talked about basic fundamental things. You know how I am. I explain things based on personal basis. What happens if, for example? And so there were no threats, just as simple assertions made, and no, well, if you do that, then we'll do this, when anything I said. It was just letting him know where I stood, what I thought we could accomplish together, and what, in fact, if there were violations of American sovereignty, what we would do. No, he asked us about Afghanistan. He said that he hopes that we're able to maintain some peace and security, and I said that has a lot to do with you. He indicated that he was prepared to, quote, help on Afghanistan. I won't go into detail now, and help on Iran, and help on, and in return, we told him a lot what we wanted to do relative to bringing some stability and economic security or physical security to the people of Syria and Libya. So we had those discussions. Yamiche.
Thanks so much, Mr. President. Did you say that you didn't issue any threats? Were there any ultimatums made when it comes to ransomware? And how will you measure success, especially when it comes to these working groups on Russian meddling and on cybersecurity?
Well, it's going to be real easy. They either, for example, on cybersecurity, are we going to work out where they take action against the ransomware criminals on Russian territory? They didn't do it. I don't think they planned it in this case. And are they going to act? We'll find out. Will we commit? What can we commit to act in terms of anything affecting, violating international norms that negatively affects Russia? What are we going to agree to do? And so I think we have real opportunities to move. And I think that one of the things that I noticed when we had the larger meet is that people who are very, very well informed started thinking, you know, this could be a real problem. What happens if that ransomware outfit were sitting in Florida or Maine and took action, as I said, on their single lifeline to their economy, oil? It'd be devastating. And they're like, you could see them kind of go, oh, we'd do that, but like, whoa. So it's in everybody's interest that these things be acted on. We'll see, though, what happens in these groups we put together. The third one, yes. Go ahead.
Mr. President, when President Putin was questioned today about human rights, he said the reason why he's cracking down on opposition leaders.
That's President Joe Biden speaking to the press.
in Switzerland after he wrapped up what we now know as a three-hour summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Dave and I have been sitting here listening to it right alongside you. So has our very own inside sources, Boyd Matheson. He's walking into studio right now. We'll have full analysis in 3 minutes on the president's discussions with Vladimir Putin and what it means for Americans. Well, we've been keeping you posted on this developing story out of Switzerland. President Joe Biden looks like he just put on his aviator sunglasses, grabbed his blazer from the ground at the news conference, still standing behind the podium and answering reporters' questions after this three-hour-long summit, Dave, with Vladimir Putin, president of Russia.
Speaking of aviators, he actually gave President Putin a pair of aviators. Mm. They exchanged gifts, and he gave him some aviator sunglasses.
Very, very important discussion, I think. I know some people had kind of said, you know, this shouldn't. We talked earlier that this should not have been called a summit. Perhaps the wording wasn't correct, but a three-hour meeting with President Vladimir Putin of Russia. I think it sounds as though, from what we've heard from both sides, there were a lot of topics that were discussed, Boyd.
Yeah, definitely a lot of ground covered, to be sure. They did do it in about 3 hours as opposed to about five that they were kind of projecting. I thought it was really interesting that when President Biden stepped to the podium for his press conference, again, it was very clear he had watched Vladimir Putin's press conference. He mentioned that a couple of times during the course of his presser. But he started by actually saying something that was, I believe, the first thing that President Donald Trump said when he stepped to the microphone after his summit with Vladimir Putin, and that is that there are many areas of mutual interests which we should pursue. So very interesting that President Biden would also lead with that area of mutual interest, and that where there is mutual interest, we should work together. The president led off with arms control being the first and most important thing, that where there are mutual interests between the two nations. And so I think that was an interesting place for the president to start, that he went straight to the mutual interest, that there are shared interests and arms control.
One of the things that really stood out to me, and this came once the reporters started asking questions and kind of making the president go off script a little bit, but he said the last thing we want is a Cold War. And he said Cold War three or four times, and it was kind of chilling to hear that word, you know, 30 years after we've been done with it. But what's your reaction when you heard President Biden bring up that quite chilling word?
Yeah, really interesting that you raised that, Dave, because I thought it was interesting. Each time he referenced Cold War, it was that Vladimir Putin didn't want a Cold War. And the reason for that is because he doesn't have the economy or the military to do that.
I want to take this press conference live again. I just watched the president walk back to the podium. Actually, he's out from behind the podium and pointing at reporters as though he has a message to tell them. Let's listen in.
Come on, quickly, let's go. Quickly, and cool.
Y'all get home safe.
It's hard to hear him because now we've lost the microphones that were at the podium. But I'm telling you what, he turned around and he was pointing back at those reporters in the press corps, and it looked as though he had one more thing to say or was perhaps trying to answer a question that was shouted at him.
Yeah, I think the question that was shouted at him, Debbie, was regarding whether President Putin admitted any guilt in terms of the cyber attack. Was there any kind of connection on that?
And that is a huge issue for America right now. The FBI lists cyber attacks as one of the main threats against our country. There is a list of threats on the FBI website, and under terrorism, under China, is cyber. And these threats to our country, in fact, these Russian hacks from Russian criminals have cost, we know, many companies a lot across the United States millions of dollars in ransom in order to free their data. And also, it created long, long lines at gas pumps on the East Coast after that Colonial Pipeline hack. This is a major issue. It must be addressed. And even if President Putin wants to point the finger at other nations, fine, we'll go deal with other nations. Yeah. But they need to take care of, or at least help us take care of the criminals in their own country who are committing these acts against American companies.
Yeah, that's right. And the president did outline as part of this press conference, he said that there were 16 vital interests to America where they really were kind of the red line components that he wanted Vladimir Putin to understand that we would respond to in a significant way, whether that was through cyber or other means, which sort of goes to Dave's point about the Cold War chilling effect and what that could mean. It was also very apparent that those questions that were shouted at the end definitely got the hackles of the president up. Even MSNBC is saying, hey, that was kind of an un-Joe Biden move. It wasn't just a come on, man. It was a return kind of very aggressive. As if these reporters didn't understand how this process worked.
Well, Biden, especially, he had answered that question, you know, several times. They had kind of phrased that and rephrased it. I wonder what it was about that final question that bothered him.
Ripping his aviators off and walking back toward the press corps with pointing his
That was a hold my aviator moment from the president.
President Biden, let's listen to part of his news conference that just wrapped up moments ago when he spoke about human rights.
No president of the United States could keep faith with the American people if they did not speak out to defend our democratic values, to stand up for the universal and fundamental freedoms that all men and women have, in our view. That's just part of the DNA of our country. So human rights is going to always be on the table, I told them. It's not about just going after Russia when they violate human rights. It's about who we are. How could I be the president of the United States of America and not speak out against the violation of human rights? I told him. And unlike other countries, including Russia, we're uniquely a product of an idea. You've heard me say this before again and again, but I'm going to keep saying it. What's that idea? We don't derive our rights from the government. We possess them because we're born, period.
And when President Biden brought up human rights, apparently President Putin turned right around and said, hey, you've got problems of your own in America. You've got the Black Lives Matters protests. You've got the Capitol riots. So he tried to turn the tables.
Yeah, and I think that's a fascinating pivot there by Vladimir Putin to suddenly flip that onto Black Lives Matter. And interesting, even in President Biden's press conference, he was also pressed on that question. You know, how can you accept the premise of Vladimir Putin saying that what is happening in Russia with political enemies versus Black Lives Matter or other things is the same?
Here is the statement from President Joe Biden that really caught Dave's attention moments ago as he was saying it.
Really not in anybody's interest, your country's or mine, for us to be in a situation where we're in a new Cold War. And I truly believe he thinks that. He understands that. But that does not mean he's ready to, quote, figuratively speaking, lay down his arms and say, come on. He still, I believe, is concerned about being, quote, encircled. He still is concerned that we, in fact, are looking to take him down, et cetera. He still has those concerns.
Yeah, the Cold War, both politicians lived through it, were a part of it. So a very interesting turn in that press conference.
Yeah, and of course, the big thing coming out of it was the assignment to the Secretary of State, both sides, that they will set up some working groups to deal with everything from arms control to cybersecurity to climate. So much more to come. The real test, I think the president was right, the real test will be what happens 6 months from now.
Boyd Matheson, we know you're going to continue to follow this developing story with your Inside Sources today from 1 to 3 on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.